welcome this evening. Glad that you're here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50 in our Bibles this evening, right at the end of the book of Genesis. Get a few verses here tonight and hopefully have your input as well. And this evening, I want to do a review of the life of Joseph, and I hope I'll have a bit of your input as well. But let's look here at the end of Genesis in chapter 50. And last week, we were looking at family forgiveness, and I hope that that was a help to you and a blessing. I believe that forgiveness is one of the key components of the Christian life that you'll need to practice until Jesus comes. It's just something you might as well chalk it down and say, forgiveness is on, it's going to be somewhere in my life every week. I'm not saying every day, but I really believe every week there are things that come across our path. And if I'm not living in a life of forgiveness, it won't be too long. I'll be like Joseph's brothers. We know how bent out of shape they were. But here you get to Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 23. It says here, they had buried their father. Now in verse 23, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank you for these hymns we're able to sing. And really, we have a God who does the impossible, and we're just so very thankful. And Father, we're going to spend some time in prayer with many other needs, and we're going to do that as a church. I believe you'll hear and answer prayer. And then as well, that you would help us as we look into this review of Joseph's life. I pray for your Holy Spirit's filling. I pray you'll direct us in our thoughts and guide us in all of this evening. Lord, we certainly love you and we thank you in our Savior's name and amen. Now, this is lesson number 35. So we have had 34 lessons in the life of Joseph. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really have a laid out plan of this is how many lessons we're going to do this. We're going to start different Bible classes on Sunday with the men outside and ladies inside, and we're basically planning for 11 weeks for that. So it's like we need a plan for that. But for this here, we just started and have done this on a little bit more of a devotional style of teaching through this. And you pray for me as to what we'll start next. I don't know. I was just concentrating on Joseph today and then looking at the men's camp out. So lots of things we're studying. But as I mentioned last week, we studied family forgiveness, and there in your notes there, we saw three basic things. Of course, from his brothers, we saw there was the root of guilt that was in their lives from, we saw that earlier in their lives, and then they had the reaction of fear that we saw there once their father had passed. They were afraid, and that fear that took over because of the guilt that was rooted in their lives. And then we saw in Joseph's life, we saw the representation of love. He could have reacted in certain different ways, we're sure. But what he did was he had a representation of love. He was not just reacting to their circumstances. He was bringing something into his family that was definitely going to be beneficial. We do know that when we start reviewing the life of Joseph, it's one of the most compelling narratives in the Bible. And of course, we start in chapter 30. It goes from chapter 37 through chapter 50. And it highlights themes of faith, of perseverance, forgiveness, and divine providence. And we find that Joseph's journey from a beloved son to a powerful ruler in Egypt illustrates how God works through trials to fulfill his plans. His life also carries deep prophetic symbolism that points forward to the mission of Jesus Christ. And we see some of those types that Joseph would be like. When we look at the life of Joseph, we don't have anything where, you know, God is condemning him, saying, hey, you've sinned against me, or, you know, you're making unwise decisions here. It all seems to be very, very good. So when we start looking at key lessons from Joseph's story, one of the things that we have to notice right away, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this, and then I would also like to get your input as to, are there lessons that you have learned? Are there highlights in Joseph's life that stands out that has been a help and a blessing to you? But when we start looking at some of the key lessons, the first thing we have to look at is God's sovereignty. Now, I don't have this in your notes here, but that's one of the things that we do have to look at is God's sovereignty, that God is sovereign, he is in control. And when we read through it, it's easier for us to look back and say, well, of course. But as Joseph was going through it, he had to trust the Lord. Even in hardships, God's plan is at work. We also notice that there is the lesson of faithfulness in trials, that Joseph remained faithful despite the betrayals. Most people being betrayed, that will devastate them. But he went through betrayals, and then he went through slavery. Then he went through imprisonment. Put those three things together, and most people would be crushed for the rest of their life. They'd quit. They'd say, I need therapy, or I need... Well, you can get therapy. This is called the Book of Psalms. Okay? It's the greatest therapy that I know. And so I don't joke about that. You know, somebody says, hey, I need help because of my mental or my emotional state. I don't think that's a joking thing. But, you know, I've asked questions, you know, why didn't Joseph have PTSD? Yeah. Right? I mean, if it had been modern day, what would he have had? He'd say, well, I need some medication to take care of this and this and this. I'm not exaggerating and not being cynical about it. I'm just saying that in a modern day scenario, Joseph would have been a person who would have been emotionally devastated. He's coming from a dysfunctional family, and that's not a slur. That's just what his family was like, right? So there was faithfulness in trials. Then there was forgiveness and reconciliation that we were able to see. Joseph forgave his brother, showing this Christ-like mercy. And we see that picture, but it was also helpful for Joseph's life. What if he had not forgiven? What if Joseph would have become bitter? Those 10 brothers would have showed up, and they would have been thrown in the deepest, darkest dungeon that Egypt had, right? We just see what would have happened there. But there's forgiveness and reconciliation. We also find integrity and wisdom. Joseph resisted temptation, and then he governed Egypt wisely. So he had integrity, and he also was given wisdom. We know that comes from the Lord, but there also has to, I mean, wisdom, you can get all the wisdom. You can look in the Bible and say, well, I've read the Bible, I should have all this wisdom, but it has to be put into application, it has to be put into practice. And Joseph was a great practicer of the wisdom. So we see the integrity and the wisdom. And I mentioned God's sovereignty, but we also see God's timing. Though Joseph waited years for his dreams to come true, God's timing was perfect. Waiting on the timing of the Lord. I believe a lot of times there are things in our lives that are really God's will for us, but in the right timing. I remember in our lives when we arrived in Creston in 2006, my wife and I sat down and said, you know what, we may never be able to buy a house. But 4 years later, in God's timing, we bought a house. We were willing to wait on the Lord. We were willing to say, Lord, you're more important than real estate. And we had to come to that conclusion. And I'll just use this because this is a practical thing that people go through. Well, we had to wait on the Lord. What does he want for our lives? God's timing was perfect. And Joseph's life is a powerful reminder that God can turn even the worst situations into something good. And we read of, you know, things like this, but this wasn't just an event. This was many, many years of Joseph's life. For instance, David goes before Goliath. That was an event, happened in one day, right? Now, repercussions went on for a long time. And then he was like hunted from by King Saul for like 13 years. But that was a one-time event for David and Goliath, right? You look at Daniel in the lion's den. That was just an event in Daniel's life. And he, by that time, he's a senior thinking, oh, if those lions are going to chew on me, they're not going to be much there to eat. I don't know what he was thinking, but he was thinking of the Lord for sure. But there are events that go through the scripture, but this one here is showing us here an expanse of his life. So we see these key lessons that come forward here. Now, in this passage that we read from here this evening, in verse number 23, just a little bit of an outline here. Number one, I put in your notes here, Joseph is blessed with family. Joseph is blessed with family. And the reason I put that in there is let's go ahead and put ourselves back in Joseph's shoes again. 17 years old, you're sold into the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites take you down to Egypt and they sell you to an Egyptian taskmaster. What are your thoughts of having a family?
Zero.
Yeah, definitely. Am I ever, you know, will I get a master who will allow me to have a wife that will allow me to have a family? Maybe not. I mean, most likely now he is going to live a life of slavery. He can't envision this. What happens when our vision is taken away? It's pretty hard for us, isn't it? It's one thing for us to surrender our will and yield to something, but when the vision is completely removed in a certain area of our lives, as I mentioned, and we'll get to my final lesson that I learned in his life, I think is very important. But Joseph is blessed with family. The second thing here, we find in verse number 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. Now, in English, that doesn't really translate, I don't think, the way that he was expressing. It almost sounds morbid. Guys, I'm going to die, you know. But he's not being morbid here. He says, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So the second thing we find here is God's promise. God's promise is reviewed. And for this, we go back to chapter 15. It's made mention of this, but just to show you and read this for you, because I think it's very important. Chapter 15, verse 13. Abraham, this is when he was Abram, had a covenant from the Lord. He made a sacrifice. God gave him a covenant. And verse 13, he said unto Abraham, God speaking to him, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So we, looking back, God doesn't specifically state here, but who was that nation that they went to serve and afflicted them? Egypt. We can see that. And you'll have to read the book of Exodus to get the full picture there, right? Now look in chapter 46, verse 4. Chapter 46, verse 4. Now, this is God speaking to Jacob after he'd learned that Joseph was alive, the end of chapter 45. Now, in 46, verse 4, God says to him, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Again, the promise is reviewed. There's going to be this promise. And Joseph, at the end of chapter 50 there in verse 24, you know, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which I swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So this promise is again reviewed. This is not going to be permanent for you to be here. God is going to do this. And so Joseph is blessed with family. God's promise is reviewed. And number three, I call this Joseph's last will and testament. His last will and testament, verses 25 and 26. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. He shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And I know you have a lot of questions. Why didn't they just take them back to the promised land and bury them, right? And lots of things could be put there. I believe that the reason that he was put in a coffin in Egypt was probably to appease the Egyptians. They have their, we've studied their religion before and the way that they do things. And it was probably had somewhat to do with that. And but he's telling them, I want you to carry my bones out of here when you go. And so we have a review of God's promise to return to the land of Canaan. On a side note with that, if you have certain things that you would have like to have done for your funeral, write them down, you know, and make sure that your family knows what you want done. I will tell you by my experience that 9 times out of 10, I don't think, I mean, maybe 8 times out of 10, I don't want to exaggerate, 8 times out of 10, a person has certain things they'd like to have at their funeral and their family doesn't do it. Now, I'm talking unsaved people. I think saved people are a little better at keeping their word and doing what they're supposed to be doing. But I would say the average funeral, either they don't know or they don't care and they're going to do their own thing. But if there's certain things that you'd like, then make it known and also make it financially doable as well. I don't think Joseph had the problem with finances, so that wouldn't have applied to him. But a lot of times when it comes to funerals, probably sometimes even greater than the grief is this expression. It just costs so much money. Now, I've seen times where that has been more important than the grief. And I think, now you study how Abraham buried Sarah, and you'll see there was a lot of love in a funeral. And then that became the standard for their family, because every time somebody really wanted to be honored and buried, where'd they take it back to? Cave of Machpelah, where Sarah was buried. It's a pretty big thing. So just some thoughts there on funerals. But this is, I believe, Joseph's last will and testament. And they will, as you read the book of Exodus, when they exit out of the land of Egypt at the Passover, they're going to be carrying, as morbid as it sounds, Joseph's coffin with them. So, and do justice there. Do what he would like. And then what I have here is a review of the life of Joseph. And I have, out of these 34 lessons we looked at, I have 15 points here, and I'll just go through them. And then you let me know, let us know here tonight, what are the highlights of the lessons you learned? These are the things that I've seen. Number one is we need to beware of favoritism and envy. And of course, we saw that in the life of Jacob, favoring one son over the others. And of course, that resulted in the envy of the other brothers. Secondly, speak God's truth. And we saw that in a lesson, because Joseph and his dreams, he probably could have kept his mouth shut, kept that to himself, but he didn't.
So out of your 15 things, I think they're all applicable to us, except for that one. I mean, that's the first part, God's truth. But,
yep.
You know, Joseph and his dreams, we can't use that.
No, we can't use that for today. I just put that in there so I'd know why or I was coming from with that point. But we need to speak God's truth. We're not looking at our dreams, but we're looking at speaking God's word. That's where we would go with that. But you're absolutely right. We can't. If I spoke about my dreams, you'd say that guy's crazy. And rightfully so. But Joseph had these from the Lord. The word of God was not there. So we speak God's truth. We speak his word. Thank you for that. That's very important. Number three, our outward response reflects our inward state. And we see this in Joseph's life. His outward response, it reflected his inward state. And at that time, I used an illustration. I said, if I had a bottle of fruit juice and a bottle of Coca-Cola, what happens to each of them when they're shaken? Yeah, you'd say, well, with fruit juice, that requires shaking to mix it and make it better. The Coca-Cola, you shake that, you better just walk away for a while, right? The fruit juice is made better, but the fizzy pop is ready to explode. So the question in my illustration was, what happens when your life is shaken? Does it make you better, or does it make you ready to explode? something we have to consider. Our outward response reflects our inward state. Number four, a leader finds a way. And we find this in Joseph's life. He goes down to Egypt. He rises to the top of Potiphar's house. He finds a way, right? We know God is involved in that, but he's still doing his part. Number five, integrity is not for sale. Potiphar's wife comes along and he puts on his running shoes, leaves his coat behind, but his integrity was not for sale. Number six, when it comes to temptation, no is the right answer. And so I know when children first start talking, one of the first words that they say is no. Well, and we would say, well, we need to correct that. But I really believe in the Christian life, when it comes to temptation, that tenacity that comes from that that heart there, it needs. There are times when no is the right answer. We just say, no, that's not going to be part of my life. And not everything is positive. Not everything is happy. Some things are no, and we put the hammer down. Number seven, the two enemies of the soul are discouragement and bitterness. Discouragement and bitterness. And that can be very easily seen in this family. And there was a lot of discouragement that led to bitterness. Number eight, even in the valley, God is good. And we saw that in Joseph's life, as there he was in prison and somebody was supposed to speak on his behalf. He said, remember me when you get out of here. Didn't remember him. God's still good. Number nine, point others to God's answers. Point others to God's answers. We talked in one lesson about being a counselor. Every Christian's a counselor. You point people to God. You're giving counsel. You're giving advice. And sometimes people want it. Sometimes people don't. But we still have the right answers for them. Number 10, God has a waiting room. God has a waiting room. And I mentioned before about God's timing. But it's very important we understand there are times we'll be sitting in God's waiting room. I won't say that it's an enjoyable experience, but it will be a necessary experience for us to wait upon what God has for us. And later on, when he fulfills his will and we see how his plan was all laid out and how he worked out the details, the only thing we'll be able to say later on is praise the Lord. Look what he did. And Joseph had to wait. Number 11, we must choose to glorify God. There's a choice that has to be made there, that we choose to glorify God. So Joseph comes before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and tells him his dream. And Pharaoh is just ecstatic, you know, and he's telling him, but it's not of me. It's of God that answers, that shows what dreams are. And he chose to give the glory to God. He did it with the butler and the baker in the prison, you know. Said only God can interpret these for you. So he chose that. Number 12, remember God after the trial. Remember God after the trial. Put chapter 41, verse 52, because his child is born there. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So he knew it was the land of his affliction, but he said, God caused me to be fruitful. So what was he doing? He's remembering God after the trial. And then also, number 13, we need to stop the worry and the anger. He said that to his brothers in chapter 45, in verse number 5. He spoke to them there, and he said to them, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And so he told them to stop the worry, stop the anger. God had a plan. Number 14, Joseph could not make his family do anything nor believe anything, but he could love them. I believe there'll be times for every Christian, there'll be situations that come and you say, all I can do is love that person. You may not feel like loving them. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to trust them. I was thinking about that as I was meditating on this. I thought, where are we in the Bible required to trust anybody? And I'm not trying to be cynical or destroy trust. But you got to think about it. I'm not required to trust people, but I'm required to love them. I thought, well, there's a lot of difference. If I trust somebody, I say, here's my car keys, or, here's, yeah, there you go. I just give them things, right? You say, I wouldn't do that. No, but we can love people. We can show love to them. It's a lot different than trust. And I don't think Joseph really trusted them, but he was trying to show them love, showing what he could do for them. And then number 15, and I believe this is the greatest lesson that I learned. I saved it for last. Disappointment comes to everyone. We see that in the life of Joseph. But do not allow your disappointment to spiral into discouragement. I don't have to have discouragement come. Disappointment will come, and I cannot prevent it sometimes. I see things coming, and I've learned to look at things now and say, Lord, I'm really disappointed. It really helps me because I know that once I've got to that phase, I do not want to go to discouragement. And that's where I'm saying, Lord, how do I keep from this becoming a discouraging aspect in my life? And usually the Holy Spirit says, trust me. Got a plan. And I have to trust him. I don't want that to go. What do you see as lessons or highlights from Joseph's life? Yes, start with Brother Ed.
We've spoken about this before, how you need to decide how you're going to act before you get in a time of conflict. And I look at Joseph and I wonder if he was a master at this. I mean, when times were good, he decided on many issues how he would act. And sure enough, all these things would happen. So he really put that faith to the test.
He put his faith into action.
But I mean, so many of your things here, think about that. Think about it ahead of time before you get there.
Yeah. Pre-planning.
Right.
Pre-thinking. If someone's what am I going to do when somebody gets angry at me? What am I going to do when somebody doesn't like my faith? What am I going to do if somebody doesn't like the way that I take a stand for something? I mean, we know we're living in a changing country, a changing world, and it's only going to get worse. Christ said it would be, when he comes back, it would be like the days of Noah. And we see some of those things, but I still see I see more than 8 righteous people, that's for sure. And so I know there's still good things happening. I just read missionary letters, people getting saved, getting baptized, getting discipled. And there's going to be some folks getting baptized here. And I'm just like, oh, I'm excited. But there are disappointing things. Yeah. What do I do when those times come? That's very important. Think ahead. Lord, how do you want me to act, not react? I think that'll help us. I mean, for that wisdom. That's very good. Anything else tonight? What do you see as lessons or highlights from Joseph's life?
I'd be thinking of the timing when he told the Pharaoh about his dreams. And he could have done, and the people didn't want to tell the Pharaoh that he was in jail, sort of thing, which he asked them to remember him when they saw the Pharaoh. And so at the timing was perfect for the Pharaoh to know that what was going to happen in the land.
Amen.
And him in charge of it all.
Sometimes it takes a terrible event for us to remember somebody. But it was all in God's timing, as you mentioned there. Very important. Very important. Other lessons or highlights you see from the life of Joseph, what rises up? Yes, please.
Tonight, that if this were to happen today, Joseph would need serious therapy, counseling. We'd all tell him to go cut out his family from his life. Don't talk to them. Don't forgive them, whatever you do. But we just take it as, oh, for sure, Joseph forgave them. That's what you're supposed to do because he's following God. But if we take and put it today, we're so hypocritical. We got to step away from those people.
Yeah.
Obviously, trust and this different than love, but
yes,
he forgave them and didn't murder them. Everybody else at that time would be murdering their family.
He could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been extreme, but he still could have.
Yeah.
I'm sure he could have found a way to have them put to death. They end up in Egypt. They're a long way from home. They disappear in that desert somewhere.
Or put them into servitude.
Yep.
Give them the exact same thing they gave them.
that's the way a lot of people think. It's revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would say. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. God knew which brother to send down to Egypt, didn't he? Yeah. Wasn't Reuben. Wasn't Judah. Right? Wow. Yes, Elmer.
For me, it's his decision to trust God above everything. Like that point number three, his outward response reflected his inward state.
Yes.
And so that has helped me quite a bit that I've been trying to put this more like to trust God in everything. So when this happens, it's not quite the way I thought, then I'm just going to trust that he knows what is best. And just keep trusting him no matter what. And that has helped me quite a bit. Because he wouldn't have been able to forgive either if he hadn't had that inward, if he hadn't had that walk with his God.
Yeah, what's on the inside? We saw that in the book of Matthew, how important that is. Such good things. Thank you. Gotta have that. Any other thoughts in the life of Joseph? I hope this study was helpful. It was, nobody else got anything. I know I did, but I know that we've had a lot of input, so I know that it has been helpful. And think about the life of this man. He gives us a lot of Bible characters, you just have little blips from their life. You know what it was like in adulthood, or you know what it was like for a certain portion of their life. But for Joseph, we see it from the time he was 17 right through to 110. So that's quite a span that God records his life for. And I think that's a real blessing there as well. But so many lessons. Yes, Tom?
Yeah, it seemed like every time something terrible happened to him, God turned it into something beautiful or something helpful for everybody else concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't call it beautiful. I would say God intervened,
yeah.
You know, because like I look at it and he goes to prison and he rises to the top of the prison. I would say that was good, but I just wouldn't call it beautiful. He's still in prison. You know, I'd be looking at that going, but Lord, I'm still in prison. And he's like, God says, I'm going to put you at the top of the prison. So I'm sure that had some privileges. Yes.
He had no idea he'd ever get out of prison.
No.
And yet his attitude, like that, his attitude is tremendously good.
Yeah. 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 For a guy who has, I mean, as far as we know, it wasn't a sentence where he's like, you're going to be here for 10 years and then you'll get out. As far as we know, he's going to be there for the rest of his life.
Kind of along with that, we started this lesson on Joseph before I was pregnant, and we're talking about being, you know, waiting on God, being God's waiting room. Is that in the same sense? I mean, yeah, we're so easy just to read the story, but Joseph didn't know. He had no answer. He had no anything. He didn't know how long everything would, like, how long he would be, you know, part for time, how long he would be in prison, how long, like, he didn't know. And I just relate a lot to just things in my life. I mean, I prayed, and we prayed that God would open my womb and allow us to have a family and start a family. But I still had to trust God that if his answer was no, I was still going to trust him and still going to follow him and just keep waiting when you don't know a time frame, you don't have an actual date.
That's right. We don't follow God because he answers our prayers. We follow him because we love him. He's our God. And praise the Lord, he has answered that prayer in his timing. Praise the Lord. These are good things tonight. Anything else to add here before we have time of prayer? They're good things. So, yeah. No, I did not anticipate 35 lessons, but yes, awesome.
I like how he brings God into the picture a lot.
That's right. Always bringing God back in. God did this. God can interpret dreams. You know, and, as children, and brings God into his children's lives. And I know the question will be there about his wife as to whether or not she believed or where she was in all of this, as she was the daughter of the priest. It creates a lot of questions that I don't have answers for. But your trust in those things.
Good he didn't give special coats to different kids.
Your kids need coats, go to the coat sale. Amen. Oh boy, oh boy. That's something. But if it wasn't in Scripture, you would say, who would do that? You know, but God put it there. Help us as parents. Yeah. Help us love our kids. Amen. This is good. Very good.